Awesome answer. Guys, John, awesome. Happy Mother's Day. Hey, raise your hand if your mom had a big or any kind of a spiritual influence on your life. She had a spiritual influence on your life. That's amazing. Thank you. My mom had a huge impact on me spiritually as well, and my mom's in heaven now. And how many of you have lost your moms? Just raise your hand up. They're already gone. Yeah. They leave a huge void in our lives, don't they? Mother's Day is a day to show our moms appreciation, to remember our moms, to thank God for them, to recognize, encourage, and pray for all the moms that we know. And it's a day to thank God for the honor of being a mom. And it's Mother's Day is also a day for hope for some to become a mom. And it's a day to mourn for those that have not been able to become a mom or lost a child. Mother's Day is also a day for reconciliation. If there's a broken relationship between mother and child or mother and children, it's a day to reconcile. And reconciliation is a wonderful thing to do, and it has a lower bar than resolution. Resolution is where you have to work out all the problems and agree on everything. Reconciliation is just saying, hey, you know, we don't have to agree on everything, but, you know, I just want to let you know everything's okay between us, and I don't have anything against you, and we're good. It's clear in the air. It's just agreeing to disagree agreeably, and that's what reconciliation is. God invented it. It's a wonderful thing. He reconciled himself to us, and it's an easier thing to do with others. God always gives us the ability to do that and the strength to do that. So like many of you, I wouldn't be at church if it wasn't for my mom's. Now, dads deserve all the same credit, but today is Mother's Day. What are the things that you appreciate most or miss the most about your mom? I miss my mom's prayers because they were fervent prayers, and she prayed all the time for me, and I can always count on those. And the Bible tells us in the book of James that fervent prayers are very effective, and they're powerful. Mom's prayers are powerful. My mom's name was Jera, and that name means she knows. And moms know, don't they? Moms just know. I'm seeing a lot of heads nodding. Moms know everything about us, and they still love us. It's that unconditional love that they provide, that fervent prayer. I heard someone say recently that you could brag to your mom, and she doesn't think of it as bragging. To be accepted, to be loved, to be prayed for with fervent prayer, it's why they're so influential. You know, when the camera's on, what do you say? Hi, Mom. It's no wonder why Proverbs 31 says that her worth is far above rubies. Now, raise your hand also if your grandmother had a spiritual influence on either your mom or you directly. Okay, that's amazing. Thank you. Paul said to Timothy, when he wrote to Timothy, he said this. In 2 Timothy 1:5, he said, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. And it's so neat that Paul remembered their names. He knew them. He talked with them, and he saw things in them that were in Timothy, and that those names are mentioned in the Word of God for all eternity, giving them honor and recognizing their influence in Timothy's life, giving credit where credit is due. So Paul's persuaded that the same faith that his grandmother had was down to his mom and then is in Timothy also. And Paul saw people in the light of who they would become, not the way they were now, but their future, the way God sees us. And then he would encourage them toward that end. He would speak to people in encouraging ways, knowing that what they would become. And that's a great thing to do. And moms are like coaches to us, and they inspire us. We were at a funeral recently of a wonderful man who passed away here, who goes to our church, Bob Weber. And at his funeral, we were honoring him, and one of the speakers, Jerry Eldridge, who's an usher here, he was a wrestler, and Bob was his coach. And he was talking about this influence that this man had on him. And he said that, you know, when he would just speak confidence into him, and he knew that he could go out there and wrestle and win and pin this guy because of what he said to him he saw what he could become. And so he went out there and he won that wrestling match in this big tournament. He came back and the coach was more excited than he was about his victory. And that's what moms are to us. They get more excited than the kids do about their victories and their successes because they believe in us. And it encourages us towards success. So Paul was like that. Paul has that same heart. And so Paul wrote in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so Paul saw these traits in his mom, in Timothy's mom and his grandmother, and he was confident, he was persuaded that these characteristics are going to be in Timothy too, and he's already seen them and develop. And that's a wonderful thing to point out godly traits in people. And then also, if those traits are in their family, to point out those in their family as well. It's like a double compliment. It's also a way that you could witness to someone who may not be walking with the Lord yet. If their family members are Christians, you could say, you know what? You know, your family members, they're like this. Or tell me about, or maybe their family member who's deceased, tell me about your mom or your grandma. And let them tell you about their life and their faith, and they'll end up witnessing to you. Because it's such an impactful part of their life. So are you thankful for your mom today? Or are you irritated with your mom today? Maybe her age and illness and the requirements that her care takes. Maybe it could be getting the better of you. But you know what? They have done more for us than we will ever do for them. Has your mom ever reminded you that she changed your dirty diapers when you were a kid? So just going with that theme of dirty diaper changing, think about how many of her diapers that you've changed compared to how much she's changed of yours. Again, she's done more for us than we could do for her. Last time you made her a peanut butter jelly sandwich, did you cut the crust off for her? No, see? Little uneven there. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs 23:22, do not despise your mother when she is old. And so it's good to make a list of things. Write down all the things that she's done for you. Or talk about them, to talk about it with people, all the things that your mom has done. It'll change your heart, and it can soften us when we remind of all the things that people have done for us, and we're more thankful for them than resentful. And it gives us strength. And the Bible also, and your parents may have reminded you of this verse too, to honor your father and your mother. And so it's really, you're really doing it for the Lord. So when you do it, if you find a hard time having the strength to give the kind of care that's needed, do it for the Lord. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. Paul said that in Colossians 3:23. So it's just amazing how much moms do. When I was talking to one of the new coffee volunteers in the coffee ministry, I was telling her, you know, just kind of go over on the phone, okay, this is what's it involved, because she signed up, and I said, is that okay? Is that doable? Does that sound okay? She goes, oh, yeah, that's just mom stuff. And I'm astonished how much work was put into the When Faith Blooms tea event that was here just last week. It's like that chocolate buffet. It's nothing short of amazing. Men's ministry is easy. You just throw out meat. Have you ever written anything down about your grandmother or your mom? You know, when Paul wrote these words, it kind of inspired me to start writing, and I started a document I've been writing a lot about my grandmother and my mom, and it's a really kind of a cool thing to do. And my grandmother, my Yaya, that's what you call Greek grandmothers, her name was Stella, and she was born on the Greek island of Phurne, and it's one of 6,000 Greek islands. And back then, there was no roads, there was no electricity. In fact, there wasn't even a bicycle on the island. And when it would get dark, they'd go to bed, and when it would get light, they would wake up. And when she was a little girl, my grandmother's a little girl, her mom would point out the island of Patmos, which could be seen. It's about as far away as Catalina is to us. And so you could see it, and she would say, that's where John wrote the book of Revelation, on Patmos. And so John was a local hero there, and a lot of the people on the island were named John. My grandfather was named John. She got married, and then she migrated to the United States. And soon after they had their 10th child, my grandfather died. And she raised 10 kids all by herself. She never learned English. She could never read or write. I would speak to her in English, and she would speak to me in her native language, which was all Greek to me. And and we never understood each other. And it's really true what they say, that most communication is nonverbal, and that's really true. I mean, I always knew she loved me. I know she didn't understand me, but I knew that she loved me. And she was extremely strong. She looked like Mrs. Doubtfire. She couldn't read, and so she would have all of her kids read the Bible to her. And whatever she felt was something she should do, she would do it. And there was this one passage in the book of Proverbs 31 that talks about the virtuous woman in verse 31, verse 17, and it says, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. And so Yaya started working out as a young woman when she would hear that. And if she didn't have her weights with her, she would pump, food cans, gallons of milk. You know, she had guns. And I remember I came home one time when I was in school, and she had cleaned out her whole garage. And my friends were just blown away because we had motorcycles, big toolboxes, everything was moved and straightened out and cleaned. When the Wonder Woman movie came out last year, the actor who played the part of Wonder Woman was being interviewed on television. And the interviewer was asking her about her life. She's a mom of two kids. And when she was in Israel, the actor was born and raised in Israel. After she was crowned Miss Israel, she enlisted in the Israeli army and served 2 years in the Israeli army as a combat instructor. And she was saying how she goes, it's crazy to think that women are not tough or strong. She goes, we bring life into the world. When I was in EMT school, we had a portion on childbirth and training with, you know, the emergency medical treatments to treat complications that could arise from labor and delivery. And after that segment was done, one of the students in the class said, I could deliver a baby now. And the instructor said, let me be clear about one thing. Moms deliver babies. As EMTs, we assist the mom as she delivers her baby. See, God created women with that unique ability and strength, that protectiveness, that sacrificial love that comes along with being a mom. There was a mom driving down the mountains and coming down from Big Bear, and she had her baby in the car with her, and the car skidded off the road in the rain, and she ended up in a ravine, and the doors were jammed, and she couldn't get out. And she was also badly injured. And the rain, the freezing rainwater that was coming off the mountain had formed a river in this ravine. And the water level started to rise up inside the car. So she was able to get the baby out of her car seat in the back seat. And then she grabbed the baby and held the baby up in her arms above the water line inside the car. And when the fire department got there and gained access to the vehicle and were able to take the baby out of the mother's arms, baby lived, but the mother had died in that frozen position, holding her baby above the ice water. God creates that in moms. And we see this consistency in all of Scripture and all of his creation. The wise King Solomon, when he was coming up with an analogy to get people to stay away from foolish people because of their destructive behavior and influence in our lives, and he said, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. When I think of a male bear, I think of Baloo, you know, playing with Mowgli, singing the bare necessities of life, scratching his back on the tree. So my parents had four kids, all 2 years apart, 2, 4, 6, and 8 is what our ages were. I was the four-year-old when my parents' marriage ended, and that divorce was really hard on my parents. And I could just remember them going through a lot at that age. And my mom was an alcoholic and also addicted to prescription drugs. And I could remember at night, you know, going into her room and she was drunk. And it was really scary to, you know, try to relate to a mom who's drunk. You're like, who is this person? And they morph into someone else. And so she had a nervous breakdown, too, after that. And then she was admitted to a Catholic hospital in West Los Angeles. And there she was assigned a psychiatrist who was a Jewish psychiatrist, and he gave her an Old Testament. And he said, you know, Jara, read this, it'll help you. And he said, especially focus on the first 5 books of this and really read those. And so she started reading. She got to the second book of the Bible, and she read the law, and she realized, I have broken God's law, and I need forgiveness. And at the end of her bed, up on the wall, was a crucifix. Behind me is a cross, but a crucifix is a cross with a figure of Jesus on it. And it dawned on her, that's why Jesus died. It was for my sins. And that's, he paid the penalty. That's why he did that. And so she prayed to Jesus, I accept what you did for me. I agree with what you did. And please forgive me. And she was born again in that bed in that hospital. And Jesus came into her heart. And she was radically changed. And she was very thankful. She couldn't stop thanking Jesus, she remembers. But also, she was very thankful to her Jewish psychiatrist for giving her that Old Testament. So when he came into her room and when she told him all about it, he's like, oh no, this is not what I had in mind, you know? And so she kept pointing to the Jesus on the cross. And you know, her problem up until that hospital stay, it wasn't that she didn't love God. Her problem is that she didn't know how much God loved her. And this doctor that she was telling about, I have a couple of prized possessions of hers. One is her Bible, and the other is her discharge papers. And in these discharge papers, her psychiatrist says, Jared Krukak is no longer showing signs of depression, but rather is obsessed with the Christ on the cross. Yeah. Because she kept explaining to the psychiatrist, okay, you gave me this law, it tells me I'm guilty, I need forgiveness, and Jesus, he paid for my sins, and she kept pointing to the cross. So at the bottom is a little place like bullet points for like a diagnosis, and it just says obsession for Christ. But she didn't know one other Christian. There was no other born-again Christians. This was like a year before the Jesus movement. And so she, like, in her recovery groups and everything. And by the way, she was sober and clean for the whole rest of her life. She went to recovery groups all the time and then got involved in Christian recovery groups and really led a lot of people to the Lord who are in recovery and had a real heart for people in recovery. And but she, you know, she led people to the Lord, and those were her new friends. And it was about, you know, like, she didn't have Ben Born Again's, you know, New Believer's Growth Book by Greg Laurie, you know. You know, illustrated all the examples of the new Christian life. All she had was her Bible. And in fact, it was that Old Testament. She kept reading. And she had this tremendous peace, this tremendous sense of well-being, like everything's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm good. I'm saved. God, you know, everything's cool. But what about her four kids? She felt this burden, like, are we going to have to go through what she went through? How are we going to know God? How are we going to get there? And who's going to, you know, make sure we get saved and all that? And as she was writing or reading, she came across Isaiah. And Isaiah 53 actually was a very powerful passage because it's an Old Testament, but it totally explains why Jesus died on the cross. If you read that, you're like, wow, that's totally amazing. But one of the verses, and by the way, have you ever had a verse just jump out at you? Like God speaks that to you? Like, that's, he just spoke it to you. That was the first time this happened to her, and it happened in a very powerful way. As she was praying for her kids and the burden for her children, God gave her Isaiah 54:13. That was the verse that she read that God spoke to her heart. She underlined it in her Bible, wrote the date on it, and it says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And she felt this weight just lift off of her. And she knew at that point God was going to completely take care of us. And God, sometimes God does that. He speaks specific promises to us that are personal, and he gives us the faith to go along with that. And then the good part is, it comes true. The Jesus Movement revival came about a year after she got saved, and she suddenly had a lot of people that she could relate to, but they're all hippies. And so... So we lived up in LA, we were in constantly Topanga Canyon, the beach, the parks, every hippie church we went to, there was no buildings, it was just all in homes, and they all looked like Cat Stevens and Neil Diamond and Joni Mitchell, you know, had these albums at home, and like my mom's albums, and like that. It's like the people at church. And then God in his grace finally led us to a really normal hippie church, Calvary Costa Mesa, which was very refreshing, you know. But it was fun kind of growing up with hippies. But anyway, we would go down to Costa Mesa in my brother's VW bus, and we'd get as many people as we could pack in that VW bus. We could only get it to go up to about 50 miles per hour on the freeway getting down there. But everybody we brought got saved. And in one summer, myself and all three of my siblings accepted Christ there. And that promise came true. Not only that, our spouses got saved, and all the children are saved and serving the Lord. That promise that God gave to her was a wholesale, just power of the Holy Spirit move, and it was awesome. I think of my mom and how many people she led to the Lord and how many people she helped in recovery and homeless people, and it was just totally amazing. And I wonder how she did that. And it was really the power of the Holy Spirit fueling her. And she had very little resources. And yet she spent so much time and energy ministering to so many other people, yet she loved us completely and was always there for us as well. And, you know, it's just absolutely amazing. When I think of my mom, I think of Ginger Rogers. You know, Fred Astaire was great too, but Ginger Rogers did everything Fred Astaire did, except backwards and in heels. And I had the honor of leading Lindsay to the Lord, and I baptized her, and that was a huge honor. And leading people to the Lord is great. Sometimes you get to marry them. But God blessed me with Lindsay, who is like Mary Poppins or Fraulein Maria. It's great to have you here with my daughter and my sister Karen and her husband Steve. So it's cool going down memory lane, huh, sis? But God really does do above and beyond what we can ask or think. And then Lindsay's mom, we brought her to church, and then she went forward and accepted Christ in an altar call. And then that night, our daughter, when she was 5 years old, she was asking about Grammy. Like, what happened? What did she do? I want to do what she did. Explain. She had like a bazillion questions and, you know, how to become a Christian. How do you do that? And so we said, all you have to do is pray in your heart and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And so we prayed the prayer and asked her, to pray. And she prayed. And that night she accepted Christ in her heart. And then Pastor Chuck baptized her later that year. And, you know, grandmothers and moms just have such a powerful opportunity and influence in the faith and the life of a child. It's really amazing. And so when Chloe was 8, we went to the Harvest Crusade, and we brought some unsaved friends there. And Greg was down there preaching, going, if you want to accept Christ, you need to come forward. You need to walk forward and come down the field. And Chloe looked at me and said, Dad, why didn't you tell me that part? You know, like, you got to go forward. I'm like, you know. I just remember her walking down the stairs and me going, you know, but that was her public proclamation of her faith. And then Lindsay and I are chasing her down there not to lose her on the field. But, you know, Lindsay's faith and strength and influence, it's definitely been passed down to our daughter, Chloe. Her life is dedicated to minister to people in the hospital who are there in their most desperate time. In fact, it just dawned on me yesterday that my mom got saved in a mental health inpatient center. And my daughter ministers to children now in a mental health inpatient center. The ability that God gave women, just like Wonder Woman said, to bring life into the world is amazing. And it's even more amazing the ability to bring eternal life into the world. And through your prayer and influence, whether you're a biological mom, you can also be a spiritual mom to many children. And those relationships are going to last forever. How many of you have had a mom figure in your life, like someone who's like a mom? Like you would say, that's like my mom or a second mom. Yeah, those people have an opportunity that have influence as just as much as influence as a mom. Like Pastor Dave was talking about last week, the disciples, they went into town when he was talking about the Samaritan woman. The disciples went into town and brought back groceries. The Samaritan woman went into town and brought back souls. You know, her conversion, and that's all it takes. All you have to do is have a relationship with Jesus, to meet Jesus, and then you're good to go. That's all that is required. And then, boom, you hit the ground running, just like the Samaritan woman, just like my mom did. And it's amazing how many people that you can reach. And having kids, adopting kids, foster parenting, all those things are just totally amazing. You could mentor younger women. And raising a family, that's the first part. The second part is actually leading them to Christ. It's praying them into the kingdom. You know, the job's not over with until that's done. That's the second part. And that's the cool part. And anyone could be a mentor. And all you need is a personal relationship with Jesus. Because the purpose of our earthly family is to get us into the eternal family. And maybe you've made bad choices. Maybe you messed up as a parent. But it's never too late to turn to Christ, to admit any faults, and then move on and just start praying for your kids. And they're going to see your faith more than they see your faults. I don't see my mom's faults. I see her faith. I of course know she had sin in her life, right? She was a sinner. But I'm just so grateful that she didn't allow that sin to keep her from a relationship with God. I'm glad that she got it forgiven so she could love God and love us. And to deal with anything that comes in between us. That's what a good parent does, is they deal with their own stuff so that they could love our kids, so we could love our kids. And it's never too late to get started. Friday, we were down at a home for girls. Lindsay and I went down there to minister to 14 girls who were getting off of drugs and alcohol. And I shared my testimony. Lindsay shared her testimony. But I was noticing when Lindsay was sharing her testimony that they really connected with her because she's a mom and she's a woman. And that kind of connection was super powerful. It was like a super mom thing that was going on. And that caused the women, those girls there, to open up. And then they started to talk. I'd say about half of them said that their moms, they knew that their moms had been praying for them and that they felt that power in their life when Lindsay was talking to them. And it's just amazing that connection that can happen. We were in a prison, women's state prison a couple of months ago with Paula and Arlen and and Judd, her husband, prison chaplains. And they teach this amazing Proverbs class. It's a parenting class that's designated, that's okayed by the state, and they get credit for it and everything. But it's through the book of Proverbs, and she has her ministry, Renewing Lives, has these books that they make, and they're just the book. It's like the verses of Proverbs all throughout the book, and then there's places to write. So as they're learning to be better parents, and it's a parenting class for these moms in prison, they're reading it, they're listening to Paula's teaching, and then they're writing all the stuff that they're learning. And we were back checking off their books that they were completed. We didn't read it. It's kind of personal, but just looking at it. And they were just written all the way to the edges, all the things that they're learning there in prison. And we got to visit on the last day, and it was amazing because Paula was saying the difference from the first day of class to the last day of class is amazing because a lot of the women get saved and they give their lives to the Lord, and they start to share their testimonies with the other moms there. And one of them was talking about how desperate she was. And there was like, she had nowhere else to turn, no hope, all of her heart, just like God told Jeremiah, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. She cried out to the Lord with all of her heart. And it just reminded me of my own mom's prayer when she was there in that hospital bed. And you see this transforming lives going on with these women. And if you get a chance to go there with her, you don't have to teach. You could just go and, you know, help pass out papers, be there during the breaks, before and after when you go in. And it's amazing. This one woman was just talking about how much she wants to learn and grow. And I remember her because she had two lizards on her shoulder that she'd trained since babies. And they don't move. They just stay there. One lizard on each shoulder. And they're just frozen there. And she trained them ever since they were babies. And Paula was telling me that she takes them when they're babies and keeps them in her mouth. And in class, she said that she'll take it out and talk and then put the lizard back in their mouth. If you go there, you will not forget that place. It seriously had like a huge impact on Lindsay and I. And the Bible says, Paul told Titus, let the older women teach the younger women. In other words, let the older women be mentors for the younger women. Why? Because it really works. You don't have to be doing time in state prison to get that kind of mentoring either. Like, you can get it outside the jail. You know, we have awesome small groups here in women's ministry. We have a young mom small group. We have a women's small group right now that has three generations of ladies inside that one small group. But if you go check it out, Paula's there. Talk to her afterwards. It was like really, really cool. 90% of ministry is just showing up. And our church, it was really cool. We were able to give than Bibles that our church provided, Word for Today study Bibles, and we had the honor of standing up in front, and we got to teach part of the class, too, in the last class, and the ladies would come up and get their certificate for completing their course, and we got to hand them the Bible, and Pastor Dave wrote them a really nice letter from our church, and he quoted Paul writing from prison, which really ministered to them and touched them, and it's just going to be so fun to be hanging out in heaven with these ladies and to see what's happened in their lives. You know, when you're on an airplane and you lose oxygen, you're supposed to put the oxygen on your own mouth, on your oxygen mask on your own mouth first, and then you put the oxygen on your children. And that's what's necessary, is to get your own life right with God, and then you'll be able to help your children. And these women were no help to their children up until this point, but now that they're saved and growing and learning, they're starting to put the oxygen mask on their own kids. They're praying for them. They're writing letters talking about all the things they're learning from this Proverbs class and all the things that a good mom does and how to follow God. And it's really inspirational. Make this day, this Mother's Day, about the future and about eternity. And so when you get in the car, when you leave here, look at the size of your windshield and look at the size of the rearview mirror. And the reason why the windshield is bigger than the rear view mirror is because where we're going is more important than where we've been. If you'd like someone to pray with you, or if you'd like to accept Christ, you can come forward after the service. Just go the opposite direction of the chocolate, walk away from the chocolate, and come down, and there'll be people to pray for you. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for saving my mom and for all that you've done in and through her life. And thank you for every mom whose prayers and faithfulness has allowed us to enjoy salvation and fellowship here today. Help us all to take good care of our moms and the women who are like moms to us. For those moms who are still waiting for the children to accept Christ, give them a good dose of faith and hope to go along with their love. Encourage them not to become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, they will reap a harvest. So help them not to give up. For those to whom Mother's Day is especially painful, I pray that you would comfort them. Please bring reconciliation to any moms and kids whose relationship is estranged. Let today be the day when they can be reconciled. For those who are weary from caring for their mom, give them strength and wisdom. And help us to treasure the legacy of our moms and create new spiritual legacies for our own kids. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.